Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we turn our attention to the astonishing abundance that God provides to us as people, an abundance of love and grace and mercy. As he calls us his home, as he chooses us as his dearly beloved, and as he shows us the way of life and living, the way of eternity, the way of salvation, as he takes broken, sinful people like us and forgives us and gives us new direction and guidance so that we can really live the astonishing life that God has in store for us. But how does that happen? Are there many ways, many roads for that to happen? Well, today we turn our attention to the question, is Christianity too narrow? In a pluralistic society in which we live, where there are thousands and thousands of religions, what is it that we have been given that sets us apart? Today we learn that God's truth is indeed narrow, but his mercy is astonishingly wide for all people. And as those who have received this mercy, we have the privilege, like Peter and the disciples did, to leave everything behind and to share this narrow way of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at the video for this morning. This is kind of the world we're living in today. And how is it as Christians, how can we have an impact, an astonishing impact? I think you just have to bring your cursor over, Pat. There you go.
I think I'd be ignorant to say that Christianity is the only right religion. I don't know what the right religion is. It's just what I believe it is. Some people that I've met, it's just I've had friends and the minute they find out about me or the minute that I do anything that doesn't follow their religion, they don't want anything to do with me.
There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad that can come out of it. I'm not sure if it's from religion that the bad or the good comes out of it or whether it's the people.
I respect a lot of faiths, and I think that Christianity is a pillar that's influenced by the other great religions in the world.
La cristianidad es muy importante porque podemos aprender valores cristianos donde no podemos descubrir más acerca de nosotros.
My view on anyone who claims to have an omnipotent truth is that there's no one truth about anything. I think that a lot of religions say the same thing in different ways.
Now, for those of you who have smartphones, you probably have come to discover that there are an app for just about everything. There are apps to help us get things done around the house, for the kids to get their chores done. I don't know if an app will work for that, but they say that it does. There's, you know, apps for grocery shopping and organizing everyone's schedule. There are apps for traveling. I like to use the Gas Buddy app. It tells you where you can purchase the cheapest gasoline in your area. Or I love to watch my kids when they fly all over the world like they do, to look and see where their airplane is in the air with an app called Flight Tracker. You can see that they're getting to their destination. There's apps for staying healthy, you know, diet, exercise, managing your stress and your anxiety. And then there are those apps that, wow, you think, who came up with some of these ideas? I came across an app that will tell you the best time to go to the bathroom during a movie so that you don't miss the plot. I was wondering if somebody could develop one of those apps for a sermon of mine. You know, when would be the best time to head on out? There's other apps like the bubble wrap app where you can just hit your phone and it sounds like you're popping bubble wrap. I guess that's for like anxiety or stress or whatever to get that out. And then there's kind of that older app, the Age Booth app. Maybe some of you remember that, where you take a picture of yourself and you can make it computerly, make it look what you look like when you're 90 years old. Or maybe go the other way. Remember what you look like back when you were in your 20s, you know. But I must say, for me, the most useful of these apps happen to be those navigation apps, you know. No more maps, no more paper maps, no more stopping and having to ask for directions. Remember those days? No more getting lost, or so they say. All you have to do is, you know, plug in an address and just like that, you've got directions to the place that you're going with many different route options. I mean, you can take the fastest route if you so choose, or if that's not what you're liking for the day, maybe you can take the most scenic route. Or if you really like driving down side streets, you can even take the route with the most side streets available. And here's the thing, whatever route you take, they're all taking you to the same place. Now, maybe you have noticed that we are now living in a culture that has come to the conclusion that all religious paths lead to the same place. All religious paths lead to the same destination. They all lead to God. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, if you practice Buddhism, if you follow the teachings of Muhammad, even if you really don't believe anything at all, everyone is going to a better place, so we're told, when we die. And to say otherwise, well, be careful, because it is seen as offensive and intolerant, and maybe just a little bit narrow in our way of thinking. But here's the thing. Jesus spoke otherwise. As he speaks to the world, as he speaks to us, a message of both truth and grace. Truth, which he said when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me," and grace, that this way of salvation is open to all people. The truth is narrow, but the grace is wide. As Jesus welcomes all. For if you think about it, Jesus is able to do the most astonishing thing of all. Jesus comes to us, not demanding that we somehow go to him or attain to him through our works and our efforts. And as he comes, he chooses people like us, broken people, sinful people, and he gives us the abundance of his mercy and his grace. And he calls us to follow him in the way of abundant life and living. And as Jesus comes to us, he reveals to us the very heart of our God. Not a God of judgment or wrath or vengeance, but a God of grace, a God of love, a God who is in our midst, who comes to us so that we can really live the abundant life that he wants for us as people, enabling us to be people who live by faith as we follow in the way of Jesus. For ours, as we've come to discover, is a God who comes to us in mysterious and mind-boggling ways. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the explanations. But he comes to us, and he is with us, you see, in this journey of life, in the joys and in the failures. He comes to us, and he is with us in the real life. That's what we find, isn't it, in our gospel reading for today? This story of Jesus and his disciples on the water. Jesus comes into the midst of real life, calling us to follow him in the way of life, revealing to us the truth that God is with us, that God reaches out in mercy, that God is powerful, bringing abundance and meaning and purpose to life. And because God comes to us, that's the reason why we can be people who are focusing on these big questions of life. As we take the opportunity to really explore who God is. But more than just explore, I pray that we can be people who live lives that are really taking hold of this mystery as we experience God's love in our everyday life. As we live with a purpose, as we live with a passion, as we live like God is actually with us. Because you see, this is the mission that we've been given. This is our calling. To follow in the way of Jesus. To love as we have been loved. Because you see, it starts with us. We're the ones who have experienced this life-changing love of God. And because we have experienced it, because we are living it, we are privileged now to share it with others. Revealing this mystery to our neighbors. Passing it on to the next generation so that they too can experience this life-changing love of God and follow the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And this happens, you see, as we are living lives that learn to trust in God's ways, even when they don't always make sense, but showing the world the very heart of God, who wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Recently, I passed a home that was in a terrible fire. And I could tell because there were holes cut in the roof and windows were broken out and the structure was burned and blackened. And my first thought as I drove past was about the family that lived there. I thought I wonder if anybody was home when the fire struck. Did they get out alive? Were they rescued by those who came to save them? It is my prayer that they were. And as I was pondering that in my mind, it got me thinking about the heroes that must have come that day to save them. And I wondered, did they say to those they came to save, "You pick the way out"? Did they say, "All paths out of this house will lead to safety"? Did they say, "Oh, do whatever feels good. If you want to stay, that's fine. You'll be all right. We'll just put the fire out around you"? I doubt they did. My guess is that they came upon those who were in need and they said, "Follow me if you want to live." And by saying that, it wasn't intolerant. It wasn't offensive. It wasn't narrow-minded. It was simply the way to life. Our God comes to us, giving us the way of life. For you see, ours, Roman numeral 1, is an abundant God. abundant beyond our imagination. As he welcomes into his midst, into his family, into his kingdom, all people, no matter our past, no matter our failures, no matter our sin. And he shows us the way of life in a world of brokenness, in a world of pain, in a world of death, as he gives us his very best, not holding back, not making stipulations, not wanting to leave anyone out, as he point number one, as he reveals his power. His power to make things right. His power to make us right. That's what we've been talking about in this season of Epiphany. Jesus coming in our midst to reveal his power to make things right, to make us right. I mean, that's what the signs over the last number of weeks have all pointed to, haven't they? Of Jesus changing water into wine as he's healing those who are sick and those who are in need, as he's casting out demons. The signs point to the fact that he has come to usher in God's kingdom, bringing hope and healing, bringing God's abundance. Wow. I guess you could say Peter and the disciples experienced that firsthand, didn't they? Experiencing God's abundance. Notice in this story that the guys had been out all night trying to do things their way. And how did it work out for them? Not so well. The scripture tells us that their nets were empty. And then Jesus says to them, well, why don't you just go in, out into the deep water and throw your nets out? Now, any good fisherman who's spent the whole night fishing and hasn't caught a thing knows that you don't go and you don't fish in deep water. It just doesn't make any sense. And you could kind of, you know, as you read that text, kind of feel a little bit of a hesitation. They had some doubts, let's just put it that way. Oh, we know better than you, Jesus. They had their questions. Well, this just doesn't make any sense. But here's the thing. They trusted. And as they did, they were blown away at God's abundance. So much so that their boats were starting to sink because there were so many fish that they had caught. And as a result of that, they began to actually see things as they were, like, whoa, wow, we're now standing in the presence of God. And we're sinful men. Peter says, go away from me, Lord. Go away. But isn't it interesting? Jesus doesn't turn away from them. Jesus doesn't turn away from us. Instead, he does something truly astonishing. As he point number two, as he reveals his grace. For you see, it would be Jesus who would be turned away by his Father. Taking our sin, dying our death, Jesus would be the one who would be excluded from the kingdom of God for us. Going to the cross, paying the price, so that you and I could walk in the way of forgiveness and life. That we could be people who die to the sin in our lives. So that we could be people who die to our very selves, so that we can really live astonishing lives. For we, you and I, have been chosen, Roman numeral 2, to be abundant people. My guess is that most of you here today like chocolate. Anybody like chocolate? All right. Yeah, I like chocolate. I like good chocolate. I kind of have moved up the chocolate level. You know, I used to really love M&Ms, and I still do. But boy, you know, those Dove chocolate, dark chocolates, the little chunks of those wrapped in the tin foil. You put a bowl of those out and they may not be there for very long. But maybe one of the things that can slow you down from eating them so fast are the little messages inside. I came across one the other day that said this. It kind of grabbed my attention. It says, your vibe attracts your tribe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. You see, how we live our lives impacts how others view our God. Does the world see God as judgmental and critical and narrow? If they do, maybe it has to do with us, Christians. As we live our lives in such a way, doubting and questioning God's goodness, limiting God's power, not exhibiting both grace and truth. But that can all change as we point number one, as we see our need. Peter and the disciples did. And it changed them, didn't it? It changed their lives as they were ready to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. As those of us who have been chosen, called by name, marked in our baptism, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we too can be ready to leave it all behind and follow in the way of Jesus. As we are point number two, as we are changed. Changed so that we can reach out to others with God's love, with God's promises, pointing not to ourselves, but pointing people to Jesus as the way of abundant life, as we are now given point number three, as we are given a purpose to live abundantly. With abundant grace, with abundant truth, with abundant love. Not having all the answers, but ready to point others to the one who is the way and the truth and the life. As we reveal the very heart of our God. Because you see, our God is a God who does the astonishing. He welcomes all to the abundance of life now and for eternity. A life that we can live now as we share it with others, as we are simply people who are following Jesus together, the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.